looking forward to talking to Colleen Kittenhofer. And she has a really interesting experience. She talks to the big bosses to find out the things they are saying and thinking about employees. What are the big bosses and the biggest pet peeves of these guys? And especially the things that are going to get you fired, like maybe chronic complaining or high drama, high maintenance employees, gossip, tattletales, social butterflies. And she has the ear. She's been doing this for so many years. They do call her the boss whisperer. And she has a new book out, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. 866-482-1011. If you are a boss and want to contribute some of the things that are definitely things that are going to get you fired, but maybe employees have no idea. They just don't have a clue. Colleen, it's great to have you on the show.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, it's a timely book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. Give us a little introduction to your background and how you had access to so many of the top bosses in the country.
Well, I started out more than 15 years ago, and at the time, I had been a manager previously, and I had been a salesperson. And so a little over 15 years ago, I started out as a corporate trainer with my own business, and I also did speaking for associations and Native American tribes in addition to high-level corporations. And at the time, I was conducting about 100 programs or so a year, and I was doing a lot of speaking in the area of how to effectively manage employees, especially difficult employees. And I would hear the things that managers would say, such as, you know, I'm tired of being everybody's babysitter, or I don't want to be a referee, you know, or they'd say, I feel like I'm running an adult daycare. So I started to get a really good idea of their biggest pet peeves, and also the things that they want to see from their employees, for the employees to be considered outstanding. And then a few years ago, when I was watching, you know, the economy just tanking, people losing their jobs, worried about losing their jobs, I thought, hey, you know, I feel like I've got a lot of information that can really help people. And so I started going around, and in my seminars and speaking engagements, I would break people up into groups, the managers that I was speaking for, and I would say, if I had a group of employees sitting here, what would you tell them are your biggest pet peeves, those major mistakes that they should avoid at all costs?
Great question.
So I said, you know, write down your top 10 biggest pet peeves, and they would do that. And then we had a group discussion, and I would write on an easel, like a flip chart, their biggest pet peeves. And then I kept checking off with a green felt pen the ones that came up over and over. And so day after day, week after week, I started to see the same pet peeves coming up. And then I did the same thing with, you know, what are the traits or characteristics bosses need to possess? And those are some of the things that I put into the book.
Now, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, you have it broken up into several very interesting chapters full of stuff. But let's get right into some of these revelations. What are the top five or six biggest pet peeves of bosses? Let's go over them one by one and paint a little picture.
Okay, sure. And actually, in the book, in chapter two, I cover the top 10, and then for good measure, I go into more. But let's go ahead. We'll start with number one. Number one is pretty obvious, and to your listeners, they might seem like some of these are common sense, but as you know, common sense isn't always so common. So here's
another
number
thing,
one.
Too, you might want to add a little later on, it's competency. Seems to be more people complaining who hire people. They look good on paper, but they can't perform. They're not what they expected, and that's a big problem in this country. But go ahead. Let's go over those 10 top pet peeves from bosses.
Sure. Okay. And I can cover that later too, Alan, what you just
sure.
mentioned. The first one, excessive absenteeism and chronic tardiness. I'm sure your listeners know some clock watchers who arrive late and take off so fast from work that they leave skid marks. These are the people that use excuses such as the kids, the husband or wife not working, or they're late due to construction on the roadways and inclement weather. So, you know, certainly these are legitimate issues on occasion, but when there's a litany of excuses, managers tune out and tune in to the idea of taking disciplinary action. So that one's pretty obvious.
Mm.
What surprised me was number two. You might think it would have something to do with productivity, and it wasn't. The second biggest pet peeve, this was so huge it might as well have been number one, and this was also with CEOs that I interviewed, negativity, subversiveness, and lack of buy-in. So for your people listening, you know, they know this person. This is the problem child whiner who complains, has no solutions, and says, I don't get paid enough to worry about that. Or
I'm laughing because I did
job.
Know someone like that. Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm sure your listeners either know somebody or have known someone like this. And I also call them the water cooler instigators. These are the people that, you know, they try to rally everyone around their complaints. And a lot of bosses tell me it's almost like these people know how to hold court with the other employees. I mean, I've had bosses who have said, I don't know what it is about these people, but they just seem to have really strong personalities where, you know, if they wanted to start a cult, they could. They just get people mm-hmm. to buy into them. And also in that category would also be the people who are complaining about how much work they have to do, but they're what I call busy doing nothing. The third biggest pet peeve of bosses, high drama. This is similar to the negativity pet peeve because these high drama people leave the same bitter aftertaste. Disruptive gossips, tattletales, the sense of entitlement employees,
mm-hmm.
and what I call pot stirrers, those people that just have a desire for dissension. Also in the drama category, the employees that talk about their personal life all day, every day. And also the other thing bosses mentioned to me, the social butterflies, the people where they come in and the first hour is social hour. So really these people, the drama people, you know, they thrive on it and they want to bring other people over to their side. And this is where managers say they feel like they're a babysitter or a referee, and now all their time is spent putting out fires. And, you know, as you probably know, and as your listeners probably are aware, many managers and supervisors get promoted to leadership positions
right.
based on their hard skills or their technical skills. They got promoted because they were doing a great job, but those aren't necessarily the skills they're going to use in managing people.
Yeah, this is a very
so where I come in, I come in that I go into a lot of companies. I get hired to go in and do a lot of training for managers and supervisors in how to effectively manage people. And now I'm also going into corporations and speaking for associations on how to improve your morale, your
right.
productivity. You know what your boss. Never
well, Colleen, hold on. Let's take. Let me just work in a break here real quick, Colleen, and we'll come back to you here. We'll just take a quick break. 866-482-1011. What are bosses' biggest pet peeves guaranteed to get you fired? And if you're a boss out there, what are some of the things that maybe your employees don't even realize that you realize? I suppose there are people that think they're getting away with it, and the boss actually does know. Things the boss... Well, sometimes they tell you, sometimes they don't. The book is called Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. Colleen Kettenhoffer. It's actually Kettenhoffen. 866-42-1011. Sorry about that, Colleen. All right, bosses, let's hear from you. It's the Alan Handelman Show on FM Talk 101.1 WZTK. This is interesting. There's no doubt about it. Those of us who are working, lucky enough to have a job, bosses, there's things that are pet peeves that they keep to themselves, perhaps. The things that you may be doing that may put you in risk for getting fired. What are the boss's biggest pet peeves guaranteed to get you fired? That's the question. Colleen Kettenhoffen is the author of that book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, and she's got the connections. She's talked to over 200 managers and bosses about their pet peeves. And she's put it into this book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, the website bouncebackhire.com. Let's take a call here from somebody who has a question about their boss. And then I want you to continue. I think you made it up to number 4 or 5 on that list of 10, Colleen. But let's talk to Leslie on line 1. Leslie, good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. What I wanted to say, a pet peeve that I see a lot of managers have, I happen to be in HR, is people who don't take responsibility when they make mistakes. They always blame it on their coworker. Oh, they didn't get me the numbers. They didn't do this. And it's just on a consistent basis. People always are looking for the other person to blame. And I would much rather, and so do managers, would much rather you come in and say, hey, look, I'm sorry I've made this mistake, and fix it than to blame somebody else.
Yeah, go ahead and respond
That's
to that,
so
caller.
True. I was just going to say that is so true, Leslie. I've had a lot of managers who have said, and this could be part of number one, the one about the absenteeism and the tardiness. What a lot of bosses said to me was excuses for this, excuses for that. And the phrase I kept hearing was excuses in general. And so I really agree with what you say about the blamers. It's like, those are the people that have the sign on their desks that say, the buck never stops here. And it's always somebody else's fault.
And if it happens actually to be somebody else's fault, are you saying, both of you, that they shouldn't say that? They should just suck it in and accept it themselves?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that at all. But if that's a consistent thing that they're doing.
That's the key. That's the word I wanted you to hear. Yeah. That's what I wanted you to hear, because there are times it isn't your fault. Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also agree that absenteeism goes both ways. If you have a boss that's not there a lot, that hurts employee morale, too. So it's kind of interesting to hear some of these things that she's saying, because it could be the same about managers as it is about employees.
That is very true. As a matter of fact, somebody had said to me, what is your next book going to be? Secrets Your Employees Aren't Telling You. Because when I do speaking engagements and training for managers and supervisors, I have to remind myself, they're employees too.
Yeah.
And so exactly what you're saying, Leslie, those are some of the biggest complaints about their managers. Is when they're not the role model, when they have that do as I say, not as I do mentality. So when I train managers, I always say, make sure that you really are practicing what you preach, because, your people are going to look to you as the role model, and they're going to look more at what you do and not just what you say. And I also say to managers, when you make a mistake, admit it, just be accountable, because you're training your people that, hey, it's okay to admit you've made a mistake.
Yeah,
that's right.
I agree.
Leslie, thank you. Good call. Good comment. I appreciate that. 866-482-1011. You're very welcome. Let's go to John on line 2. John, good to have you on WZTK.
Hello?
Hi, John, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, John. Okay.
Hello, I'm not a supervisor. I just act like one most of the time, but, I had a question about your, when you go into a company, we have supervisors that more than likely don't work in our craft. We do plant maintenance and we do very specialized work, and a lot of times when we have a legitimate issue to bring up,
mm-hmm.
it gets thrown out. You know, it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And do you ever run into situations like that, and how do you handle that?
You know, I really do. And were you saying that it's almost like they listen, but they really don't want to do anything about it when you go and maybe have legitimate complaints to them?
Yes, and it's almost like, you know, you're a complainer or you're negative or and I'm saying, look, man, this piece of equipment, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we really need to do this. And, you know, it's just like it goes over their head, and it's
like when you're suggesting replacing the equipment with something new and they don't want to spend the money. Is that what I'm trying to get something specific out of you?
Oh, yeah. It's all dollar-based. Okay. And it's,
that's a good question, like, Sean. And I can give you one idea to do is bosses are always thinking, what's in it for me? You know, if I do this for you, what am I going to get out of it? So I think one thing that I would do is say to them, and not to sound like your mother, but when you do talk to them, watch your tone of voice. I mean, you're fine with me. Just make sure when you go in with them, have a very neutral, just low controlled tone and say, you know, here's a situation that we're experiencing. Say the situation, what it is, and then say, here's an idea that I think would make us more productive and maybe save the organization money in the long run. What do you think about this? And then give them your idea, because that way it's coming across as a suggestion and as if, like, you're trying to help them, which
the
really
bottom
you
line.
Are.
Right, the bottom
oh,
line.
Yeah,
good,
I mean,
good. Go, John, going to have you 30 more seconds, John. Go ahead, be brief. Go ahead.
Okay, I think, you know, one thing that I really would like to see supervisors go through is a class to listen and really understand what somebody's saying. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we all have different ways. I've got a construction background, and you know, I'm pretty brash, but I am a very dedicated person. And
good, John. Well, I'm glad you called, and keep the calls coming on this. I'd like to hear from bosses. What are the pet peeves of bosses? Now, Colleen, I think on the list of 10, how many did you get out? About five?
We've got three so far.
Okay.
And
do you have time to stay with us? Do you have time to stay with us and do another segment, one more segment?
Sure.
If you do, that'll be great, because let's go ahead and take our break. And I'd like to hear from bosses, and you respond. The biggest pet peeves bosses have with employees. What are those pet peeves that could get you fired, too? You may not know it, but your boss may have secrets. The pet peeves of bosses, 866-482-1011. The book is called Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. Colleen Kettenhofen is the author of the book. She is the executive who talks to CEOs and managers, and she's been doing this for a long time. She certainly connected to the top people out there, and they just said, yeah, I do have some pet peeves, and she wrote about it. 866-482-1011. I want to hear from bosses. Her website, by the way, bouncebackhire.com. Lots of calls here, and I want you to continue on the list in just a bit of the top 10 bosses' pet peeves. But before we do that, Colleen, let's take a call or two. Let's go to Justin on line 4. Justin, good to have you on WZTK.
Good. Yeah. My question was, well, first let me preface it by saying that technically I am a boss. I am a landlord and I have a property manager, but my employee staff is just the one employee.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have tiny little bit of experience there, but my question was, is excessive question asking on the list? I know that's actually something I tend to do it. I have some of my jobs where I tend to, I want to know, make sure I'm doing things thoroughly and right, and I know that I've on more than one occasion gotten on my boss's nerves by just asking too many questions, albeit legitimate questions, not. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Colleen, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Colleen. Respond. You don't have to wait for me to call on you, Colleen. You just respond. Go right ahead.
Okay. One thing I would say, hi, Justin. One thing that I would say is what was eighth on the list was the need to repeat instructions, the information not being retained. Now, having said that, I just think that you're very conscientious, and I think when you do talk with your boss, and maybe you're already doing this, I would say something like, I hope I'm not asking too many questions. I don't want to do that because I know you're busy. I want to be conscientious, though, and I want to make sure that I, you know, get this right for you, or I want to make sure that I, whatever it is he or she wants you to do. So I think if you preface it, just by saying, you know, I'm conscientious and I just want to make sure that I get this right for you. That's why I'm asking. That would be the first thing I would say. I think the second thing I would say is if you just think that maybe this is the kind of boss where they act like they have an open door policy or they say they do, but they really don't. Because I hear about that a lot when I go in and do training for organizations, then I would say probably think twice before you ask the question. Kind of choose your battles and be thinking, okay, is this one where I should just be proactive and just go ahead and do it and figure it out as I go along?
Right,
or is
right.
this big enough that I better ask the boss the question?
Colleen is an international workplace employee and management expert, corporate specialist, and she is also known as the Boss Whisperer. Her latest book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. 866-482-1011. Love to hear from bosses out there. Colleen Kettenhoffen. And by the way, let's continue on that list. I think you left that at four. The biggest pet peeves of bosses before we go back to the calls. And we got many.
Number four is combative, challenging authority, lack of respect, not following the chain of command. That was probably a phrase I heard a lot, not following the chain of command. And I think certainly it depends on what the issue is. If there's something that you can't resolve on your own and you've tried, then go to your manager. If at all possible, don't go over their head to their manager because now it makes them look bad. But certainly it depends on the issue. And I think the combative almost doesn't need an explanation. You know, it takes so much energy out of you when you're trying to get somebody to do something, and it's almost like they're just purposely challenging you. And you don't have to be a boss. I think all of your listeners can relate to someone who's just been a difficult person. And I did do a whole chapter also in the book on seven magic wands for making difficult people disappear. Number five is lying, especially on timesheets, lack of integrity, dishonesty. And I think this goes back to number one. You know, when they feel like you're making a lot of excuses for why you're chronically late or absent, I think the lying and the lack of, all the excuses really tie in. So suffice it to say, if your boss thinks your excuse is a lie, it may be a lie. So that's, you know, when somebody's being excessive in terms of there just doesn't seem to be the integrity. Number six, and this one's, I think, going to move up the list. What I keep hearing from bosses is Facebook, you know, Twitter, you know, time spent on the Internet for personal use, texting, excessive personal calls during work time.
Right.
So, you know, social media can be an organization's best friend regarding visibility, but it's fast becoming its greatest foe regarding employee productivity.
Oh, you're absolutely
and
right.
Bosses, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, go ahead, continue.
Oh, bosses see it because they'll tell me that, you know, sometimes they'll be walking by somebody's desk and the employee will quickly, X out all the windows and get out of the screens. And as Leslie said, your caller who's in human resources, HR, hey, once again, it goes both ways. You know, you can have the boss who's just giving the orders, but they're spending all this time on personal phone calls or on the Internet. And also, I would say as part of number six, one that I'm starting to hear more and more in just about every state I visit is the employee who badmouths the boss and the organization by name on their status update, on social media sites. And bosses see these things, or they hear about these things because a lot of employees have their coworkers as friends on Facebook. And I was training a while back a group of managers on how to effectively manage employees up in Washington State, and they were saying to me they had an employee who was friends with coworkers and the boss on Facebook. He called in sick, and then he went to the Washington coast or the nearby Oregon coast and sent a picture into – posted a picture of himself at the beach. Jeez. And then the status update was, I called in sick. I'm paraphrasing, but something about, I called in sick, but I'm not really sick. You know, I'm having a great day on the coast.
Jeez.
And forgot that the boss was on the friends list.
Oh, man. We were just talking to a guest about whether you should have your boss, should you allow your boss to be a friend on your Facebook page in the first place? What's your feeling on that? If you get your boss who says he wants to be your friend and you're awkward about that, what do you suggest?
I think if your boss wants to be your friend, I would consider having two different lists, one which is more business associates and then another one which is your truest friends.
Right, real friends and pals you could talk openly and honestly about. All right, let's start. We'll come back to number seven in just a bit, but we got a lot of great calls here. We're hearing from bosses. Pet peeves of bosses. What are they? 866-482-1011. Dave is next. Line one. Dave, good to have you on WZTK.
Yes, sir. Well, I have about 250 direct reports in six states.
Mm-hmm.
There's 46 locations. 5 area managers, and I can probably tell you the top 10 very easily. I'm also in charge of inquiries, investigations for HR, which is probably the most troublesome thing there is.
Yeah.
But honor and integrity is the most important thing, and not just when it's convenient, but all the time.
Right.
Work ethic, and these are things you can't teach, and work ethic. Those kind
and
of things
brings up-
absolutely make a boss happy. Now, the other guy that was talking about, they want the equipment and all that, that all goes down to operating earnings, net sales income, budgeting for that equipment. You got to be able to pay for it, have it a return on investment, an ROI, in order to have that happen.
Go ahead, Colleen.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why I said to, I think it was Justin, I'm not sure, but I remember saying to callers that what's really key is if you've got an idea and it's going to cost the organization money, you better have a real good idea of how it's either going to save them money or in the long run, or how is it going to make everybody more productive? How will it improve productivity and morale? Is there any way that it might improve customer satisfaction? So it goes back to the boss and the organization are thinking, how is this going to benefit me? You know, you've heard the saying, what's in it for me?
Dave, thank you for your call. Thanks a lot for those suggestions.
One more question, if you're
sure.
Okay. One more. Okay.
Sure.
My most important thing is I don't have people work for me. They work with me. And if they keep that in mind and have the work ethic, and they're always got work ethic, not when it's convenient, and always have the customer in mind, you make a lot of things possible. And one of my best sayings is, you know, you got to make sure that you got reasons why, not excuses why not.
Good. Very good, Dave. Thanks a lot for contributing.
That's
great advice. 866-482-1011. As we go to Ed, line two. Ed, good to have you on.
Hi, Alan and Colleen. How are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing great. Good to hear from you.
Fantastic. I don't know if this is the right, that I'm asking this correctly as far as I'm going employee to boss, but what I'd like to know is how do you deal with a boss who has a hierarchy in the department that he'll treat certain employees differently than others? And it always seems to be that the ones that are doing the least work get the most breaks.
Is the boss friends with these people? Because one thing I always say to bosses when I'm training them is I will say, look, you've got to be really careful when you're managing people, because if there's a former colleague or somebody who is a friend of yours, research shows that your people, your staff, are going to perceive that relationship as being based solely on a friendship. So you've got to make sure that you are consistent in how you manage people and that you're not practicing favoritism.
Right. You know, when you say friends, I would wonder, do you mean as far as outside of the work environment? Do they get together, or just that they really connect with inside the work environment? Because as far as I know, it's more so. I'm sorry,
I would say, do you feel like they're friends inside the work environment? Because some bosses know that they've got to be careful about socializing with friends outside the workplace, and so they're not doing that so much anymore. But I guess I'm just wondering, when you said it seems like the people who are doing the least amount of work are getting the most attention, do you think they're getting the most attention in terms of the boss is trying to bring them up to speed and work with them to get them to be where everybody else is?
Well, you know, Colleen, I guess when I say most attention and I say most breaks, what I mean is that you'd have an employee that, and I'm only looking at this from the outside, but you'd have an employee that is diligent, that is on time, and they make a mistake and they get really called out for it. But someone that is not as, you know, as not as diligent or doesn't care as much about the job, they may make a mistake and they're like, oh well, that's just that person, you know.
That's aggravating, favoritism.
Boy, it is, and that's really surprising, because as the other caller, Dave, had said, you know, bosses want integrity, they want work ethic. The big reason why bosses don't want the people who are negative and the people with the high drama is because of how it affects the morale of the other employees and the productivity of other people. Because if they're being negative and they're a high drama person, first of all, they're probably not being productive. So they don't have the work ethic and they're not practicing the integrity. But now sometimes that behavior rubs off on other people, or they're just interrupting other people and they can't get their work done. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out why the boss would kind of laugh it off with the people who maybe are the underperformers. Now, the people who maybe they are a little bit late, I mean, are they a little bit late, but they're extremely productive? Because to some managers, if somebody's really productive and they're a little bit late, to them, it doesn't matter. Now, there are other bosses that I interviewed who said, you know, I'd like to think, Colleen, that it doesn't matter if someone's a little bit late, if they're productive.
But if they're consistently late, yeah, it matters because of the effect it has on the other employees, because everybody else sees it.
Hey, Ed, great call. We only got a few minutes left. I got to move on. Thanks a lot, Ed. Keep in touch, will you? 866-482-1011. Actually, don't even call in if you're not already on hold. Are you left off, Colleen? If you're just tuning in, Colleen Kettenhofen is the name of the author, and she is not really just an author. They call her the Boss Whisperer. She is an internationally known workplace, employee, and management expert, corporate speaker, and putting all these interviews she's done with bosses and CEOs into this new book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. And her website is bouncebackhire.com. So if you would, start with number 7. You had a couple more in the top 10 pet peeves.
Yeah, sure. Number 7, lack of initiative, laziness, being full of excuses. And number, you know, once again, this could tie back into number 1, the chronic absenteeism, chronic tardiness, or showing up for work on time, but they're not starting on time. That was all number 1. So number 7 kind of ties into that, the laziness and just not being proactive. And, you know, along the lines of what David said about wanting somebody with integrity and a strong work ethic, I think that also ties into the people who are the chronic complainers, because they're not proactive. You know, they're just focused on what the problem is. They're not thinking about being solutions-oriented. And that causes a lot of work for managers, because managers feel like they have to solve all of their problems. Number 8, the need to repeat instructions. The information is not retained. Bosses don't want to spend an insurmountable amount of time and energy
going over. I think we talked about 8. I just want to make sure we squeeze on at least 9 and 10. Yeah, go ahead, 9 and 10.
Sure. Okay, number 9, abusing breaks and or taking extended lunches. Included in number 9, the disappearing employee, the person that you can't find. They're hiding to get away from the work. Number 10, loud, annoying habits, disrespect of coworkers and other managers, excessive use of company resources. You know, that's huge. You know, somebody calls their great-grandmother in Australia, or, you know, they come in and make 100 copies on, you know, at the company's expense. And then I've got a whole bunch of other frustrations that are in that chapter. Certainly things like breaching confidentiality, you know, that could be number 1 or in the top 5, depending on your organization. So I always tell bosses, look, you know, you've got to nip it in the bud early on, because otherwise I've seen superstars quit in disgust. I always tell bosses, don't let the inmates run the insane asylum.
Very good. You know, we don't have time to cover this, but the next time I have you on, you said you have tips for making difficult people disappear. Boy, that's a great chapter. We'll talk about that. And Richard and Dave, we were going to go to you. We're out of time. We will have her back once again. Colleen Kettenhofen, and the website BounceBackHire.com, the book Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. 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 The book Secrets Your Boss Isn't